It's my privilege to share with you this morning. I was thinking in my preparation, actually, I am in my regular job, I'm a chaplain of an independent girls' school just up the road from here. And when I speak most weeks, it's to what I affectionately term a captive audience. Not all of whom would probably choose to stay in the room if they were given that choice. So to speak to a group of people that actually chose to be here is a bonus to begin, and I'm hoping you'll all still be here at the end. So let's dive into John 10, 11 to 18, which we have been prepared so well for this morning. Thank you everyone that has contributed. Now, if you're anything like me, when you read this story, you're probably really quite familiar with it. You might be tempted to pass over it quite quickly. It is that familiar to you. And if you are anything like me, sheep metaphors might not necessarily float your boat terribly much or have the greatest impact on your life. Sheep, perhaps you might not see very often, you might not think about them very much in your life. And I actually think that's one of our challenges with a metaphor such as this that doesn't necessarily have a daily connection. It's not part of our everyday life. And certainly for me, in my context, I find that sharing with others who are not necessarily interested to begin with, it can be a bit of a creative challenge to bring some connection. So in teaching, we often start a new topic by starting with something familiar. We do a test of prior knowledge, or we do brainstorming or something like that, so that we have an association upon which to build. And so I thought I might do that this morning in my preparation, both my experiences in my current life of sheep and then what I know of sheep, and I'm going to invite you into that in a second. So to set the scene, I had to think about the closest relationship that I have currently to sheep, and I must admit, it's when they are on my plate. I think that would have to be the closest connection that I love is slow roast lamb with roast veggies, gravy and mint sauce. Is anyone speaking my language? Yes, there's a few hands in the audience. It's getting to lunchtime. I also remembered one short holiday. That's not terribly helpful for a sermon on sheep, I must admit, but that was what was in my brain. And I remembered also one short holiday visiting a friend's farm in West Wyalong when at 7.5 months pregnant with Abby, camping on the ground on a swag on the farm so that the boys, Jacob and Eli, could experience the outback. The sheep and the wrangling of them, as it turns out, were not the greatest draw card for the boys, but the quad bikes featured highly. More helpfully, on a holiday in New Zealand, I was on a very remote farm with a good friend of mine whose brother-in-law was the farmer, and he would roam his sheep for days at a time. And I witnessed for the first time in my life how a farmer or a shepherd had various calls to the sheep, and as far as the eye could see, these sheep would come just at the sound of his voice. It was really quite amazing. So that's my experiences to set us up such as they are. Then I thought, well, what do I know about sheep? And this is where you come in. I came up with 5 points, they're not rocket science points, 5 brainstorm points of things that I knew immediately at the top of my head about sheep, and I want to see what you know about sheep. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. You can use your brain or the person next to you. 30 seconds, see whether you get the same 5 points as me or whether you blow me out of the water with so many more points of your knowledge about sheep. Off you go. 30 seconds, have a chat. I saw some actions just there. I saw this and I heard they go bah. All right, so what do we know about sheep? Not rocket science points, but let's start here. So my point number one, they stick together. Who got that? Excellent, that's 3 of us. They stick together, they're often in groups. They're very rarely just off on completely on their own, but they're often in groups and large groups, and that those groups are called a flock. Number 2, they know their shepherd's voice, the particular sound, and they follow that. Number 3, they're a little slow. They're known to be not the sharpest tool in the shed. Number 4, they smell. Did anyone have that? Yes, a few people had they smell. And last but not least, in a non-exhaustive list of sheep facts, there are different kinds of sheep. They are not all the same. Now, whilst that's not a rocket science list, I must admit that as I pondered that for my initial brainstorm, And as I applied it to my spiritual life, I was completely challenged straight away. Because have a look at the list. If I am a sheep, I stick together with other sheep. I'm not often isolated on my own. I'm with others. I'm sharing. I'm in community. I'm part of a family. I'm part of a flock, a unified flock. Number two, I know and I recognize my master's voice, and I follow. We follow. Number three, I'm a little slow. But if you're laughing, so are you. Number four, sheep smell. I smell. Now, my boys were here earlier and they laughed at that one, but giving you a little context of what I was thinking about when I was thinking the spiritual version of this is I thought about the aroma of Christ and I thought about a fragrant offering. And then I had to ask myself, well, do I smell? Am I the aroma of Christ? Am I a fragrant offering that is noticeable? And finally, not every type of sheep is the same as me, and I can't expect them to be. The Master loves them just as much as he loves me. So is anyone else challenged just by aligning the brainstorm to our spiritual life this morning? So the whole passage that we're looking at from John 10 is all about sheep, with the main focus being the shepherd. And it begins with a description of an adjective of that shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And the translation of this word good means intrinsically good, part of who he is, beautiful, fair. And I love that we sang fairest Lord Jesus this morning. It describes that which is ideal, the model that others may safely imitate. Our Lord's goodness is inherent in who he is, in his nature. To call him good is the same as calling him God. That is our shepherd. And to whom is he speaking in describing himself as the good shepherd? So if we go back to the beginning of chapter 10, and actually even before that in chapter 9, the beginning of chapter 10 is described as the good shepherd and his sheep. And he says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber." And he goes on talking about the gate and the way in. Prior to our 11 to 18 verses that we heard so beautifully read earlier, the first 10 verses' interaction is with the Pharisees. There had been a robust discussion in chapter 9 prior to this about spiritual blindness. And the Pharisees were challenging Jesus about his opinion of their spiritual sight. Now, you will recall that the Pharisees are often depicted actually as the baddies in the New Testament. They were held in very high esteem, and they were considered by many as the best people in the whole country. They were the holy men who kept the law. They pursued purity with a passion and wanted nothing more than to live lives that pleased God. In John 10, the whole passage about sheep, Jesus is intentionally and significantly pointing to himself as the shepherd. He's speaking directly to these Pharisees, the teachers of the law who knew it all, so to speak, and were affronted by any opinion calling their knowledge or their authority into question. To give just a little context, which I'm hoping is helpful for you, it was certainly helpful for me. Quite a few years ago now, when I went back into teaching after a long break, there weren't many part-time music teacher jobs at the time. And the job that I could get was a part-time music teacher job at the most orthodox school in Sydney, Jewish Orthodox school in Sydney, Kesser Torah College in Dover Heights. Most of the fathers of the students that came there were rabbis, and the families came from all over Sydney to attend this particular school. Most of the male teachers there also were rabbis. Not only was I not a rabbi, and still not, and not male, but female and a Christian female, to tell you I did not rate in the pecking order was an understatement. And to tell you I was a square peg in a round hole also was an understatement. It was in many ways the hardest time in my teaching career as I grappled with the many rules and regulations and customs and ways of doing things. I offended people all the time and I wasn't even trying. It seemed to come just completely naturally to me. But it was also one of the most eye-opening and rewarding times at the same time. and I often felt like I was in the middle of the New Testament getting into trouble on the Sabbath. So many stories came to life for me as I witnessed regulations and rituals and religious rules lived out every single moment of every single day. But I can also tell you firsthand that within the Jewish community, rabbis are held in very high esteem. One does not argue with a rabbi. They are super intelligent, high-ranking authority figures of their community, and their word goes. There are so many stories that I could tell you, but that is not my role today. Suffice to say that a rabbi and the upper end of the rabbi echelon hierarchy, a Pharisee, knew the law, knew the rules, and were not ones to be trifled with. So it's them that Jesus is speaking directly through this narrative when he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, so that when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." There is so much just in this short paragraph. And I'm sure that you, like me, we can easily relate to a hired hand type reference in the story. There's buy-in and ownership and responsibility, significant care factor with an owner-operator of a business compared with a casual hired staff member. I'm sure we all would have a story where there has been limited or maybe no care or responsibility taken by someone who doesn't own the shop. But the true shepherd cares for the flock. The good shepherd is not a hireling simply to get some cash. The good shepherd purchases the sheep at great cost, and they are his. They belong to him, and he loves them. Throughout the Bible, Wiersbe says, God's people are compared to sheep. They are defenseless and need the care of a shepherd. They are, to use Wesley's phrase, prone to wander, and must often be searched for and brought back to the fold. By nature, sheep are stupid and prone to get into danger. They need a shepherd to care for them. And I thought of my opening brainstorm again, if I am the sheep in question. A little bit stupid, gets lost if I don't stay with the flock, prone to wander. In olden day shepherding times, at night, if the sheep flock were out in the open, they were apparently housed within a temporary enclosure of thickets and brambles and branches that were all crudely put together by the shepherd in a circular kind of temporary pen. And there was one space at the front for the entry and exit of the sheep. The shepherd would often lie down across that only opening in the circle where the sheep were safely held, so that an intruder such as a lion or a bear would have to take on the shepherd at the opening to get to the sheep in his care. The shepherd would literally be the gate through which the thief would need to gain access to his prey. So it is no mistake that Jesus speaks of himself as the gate through which the sheep enter. He draws attention to his very identity as the way in and concludes the preceding 10 verses to our passage with verse 10, one of my favourites in the Bible. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The gate, the door, the way in of the good shepherd is life. Complete life in all its absolute goodness and fullness that there is to have. The Good Shepherd then explains so much about sacrifice in the verses to follow. His sacrifice, with verses 11, 15, and 17 all stating that he lays down his life for the sheep. Take a look. And then after these verses, in verse 18, he reiterates the sacrifice is not a victory that others take. This is not an overpowering by the enemy. It is by his authority and it is his decision to give it. This is an offering, intentional and costly. He, the good shepherd, sacrifices for the sheep, not the other way around. And I think it is so bizarre when you think about it in sheep and shepherding terms. This is not a job where the herd goes to the abattoir at the end of a journey. This is an abattoir of a most ridiculous, amazingly juxtaposing kind, where the shepherd himself goes to slaughter. Willingly, for the slow, bit dumb, prone to wander sheep that he loves with all his heart. I considered just a few of the verses, the many times that God's people are referred to as sheep. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." Isaiah 40, "The sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." I love that. Ezekiel 34, "In this way they will know that I, the Lord, their God, you are my flock, the sheep of my pasture. You are my people, and I am your God." Psalm 100, "Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Psalm 79, "Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever and ever, praising your greatness from generation to generation." So the Pharisees listening to Jesus' teaching would have known all of those verses that we've just seen on the screen, and they would have known them all by heart and be very familiar with sheep analogies and shepherding as a way of life. But rather than thinking about what the Pharisees were thinking as the audience this morning, and it being so easy for us to take on the role of judge and criticise them, I want to focus on what it is that we are thinking. We, the sheep of his pasture this morning. We, the focus of the Good Shepherd's gaze. Jesus goes on to explain relationship to the Pharisees, drawing the focus to himself as shepherd. This is about intimacy. It's about connection, communion, not law and regulation and how much a person knows. And I wonder, do we also need to remember what it is that Jesus is saying? Yes, he's speaking about sacrifice and drawing attention to who he is, but ultimately he's telling us that he is good. He is really, really good. And he wants us to know that he loves us and wants connection and communion with us, relationship. His heart is for us and not against us. He watches over us, our going out and our coming in, and he gives his very life for us. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." That's close. I can think of nothing better this morning than concluding with probably the most well-known psalm in all of Scripture that I'm hoping might take a little bit more depth of meaning for us as family members within the flock, whatever and whoever we are, because we're not all the same kinds of sheep, are we? We're not all the same. I want to invite you to read it with me, but not just read it, meditate on it, chew on it, and then let's all take it with us. I wonder if we remember who is leading us, that our perspective might change. I'm wondering this morning if anyone has forgotten in our daft, forgetful, sheepish ways that we have a shepherd that's a very good, good shepherd. Let's finish together by praying Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I invite you to read in bold and I'll read the rest, unless you want to read the whole thing. It's all good. Okay, sheep. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Amen. We're going to listen to "The Lord is My Shepherd," beautifully played by Gabe. And I want to invite you to listen to the shepherd's voice Invite the Holy Spirit to speak directly to your heart, and may we follow hard after him this morning.